7.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome in. You're listening to the weekend edition of the Corlin Economics Report. I am Al Corlin. Appreciate you joining me. We're going to talk today a little bit about a couple of issues. We're going to talk politics. I have a gentleman who will be a guest later in the show who is running for Congress on the Libertarian ticket out of Colorado. Very, very interesting guy, Rob McNeely. You're going to be hearing more from him on today's show and also in future shows. We're going to talk a little bit about political issues, and we're also going to get into some financial issues. I'm going to start right now with my two radio partners, for lack of better terms, Clyde Harrison and Steve Carr. We're going to chat a little bit about what's going on right now in the economy and what you can do to protect yourself as opposed to just talking about all the bad stuff. Let me introduce this subject by saying the price of gold and the price of silver have been going up substantially last Wednesday. According to ADP Employer Services, the statistic came out that U.S. companies cut the fewest jobs in 2 years, and this was last month. This was in February. The other side of the coin, however, was that the problem in Greece is escalating significantly. So you have a little good news on the one hand in terms of cutting jobs, and then worldwide you've got some really bad news in terms of what's going on with Greece. I have to say that the fact that the U.S. Cut the fewest jobs in the last month that it has in 2 years, that doesn't tell me very much. I'll tell you why, because they're still cutting jobs. Steve, let's start with you. What's your view right now as to what's going on economically?
Well, I think number one, Al, on the jobs, I don't believe the numbers. You know, it used to be that 350,000 a week in unemployment claims, on Thursdays, was kind of the line of demarcation as far as whether jobs were actually increased or decreased.
Right.
In other words, you had, less than 350,000 people hired per week.
Mm-hmm.
So if you had 350,000 being laid off, so let's say now it's 375. I mean, Al, we're seeing close to 500,000 even in the last, month or two. Net, that's still about 600,000 a month,
mm-hmm.
In lost jobs. So I don't believe the numbers to begin with. Number two, just from the people that I know, we're seeing more and more people who are either, being laid off from their jobs or they're getting laid off of one job, Al. And how is this computed? You're laid off a $50,000 a year job, and so you have to go out and get two part-time jobs at $10,000 each. Is that net one lost or one gained, or how do they figure that?
Well, they clearly.
I don't think that the numbers are accurate.
No, they accurate or inaccurate, they are accurate in the sense, as I understand it, in the sense that the way they are measuring, the way they're doing the measuring today. However, the statistics today are taken very, very differently than they were in the past. And if we use the same methodology for calculating unemployment right now as was done prior to the Clinton administration, the unemployment rate right now would be around 17 or 18%. Clyde, what do you think about all this stuff, buddy?
I happen to have something I grabbed in front of me that is a report this morning from California. Howard Roth, chief economist, State Department of Finance, California.
Yeah.
California lost four more jobs last year than the state originally reported, according to the new report that provides an early glimpse into statewide employment trends. The economy was a lot, those are quotes, the economist's quote. The economy was a lot worse than everybody thought, said Howard Roth, chief economist, State Department of Finance. The job market is weaker than we figured. According to an estimate from the State Employment Development Department, California's employers shed 841,000 jobs in 2009. If that estimate holds up when final revisions are released this month, California's job losses are far more grim than we first believed. These numbers are from tax receipts. The agency reported as recently as January 22nd that California employers chopped 579,000 jobs from the payrolls in 2009. That would translate into 292 more lost jobs. Why are the job losses so much worse than we first thought? The EDD's monthly estimates depend in part on a number of employers it believes exist in California at any given time. But the recession has erased numerous companies. The businesses went away, and they no longer exist. The ones that we originally thought were there are no longer there, said Dennis Myers, Assistant Chief Economist, State Department of Finance.
Well, you know, I think one thing that is important to realize is how numbers do continually get revised. You know, my wife and I moved up to northern Washington State from southern Washington State, from Clark County down there on the Columbia River here about a year and a half ago, and I was reading the local Vancouver paper just, I don't even know why I was reading it, but I was reading it this morning, and the unemployment rate right now in Vancouver, Washington, which is normally a pretty prosperous little town, is around 14.1%. Well, that's a big, big number. You know, the point of all of this is really not to talk, not to dwell on this bad stuff, because it is bad stuff, but what we want to do on this particular show, and what I've been doing for years and years and years, is let's talk about the other side of the equation. What can we all do to protect ourselves and our families? Steve, take a shot at that, will you?
Well, I think you're right on with precious metals, Al. Yeah, they do fluctuate some up and down, but when you look at the overall trend over the last 10 years, I mean, it's been up, up, up. And I think now people are starting to realize that it's not so much a hedge against inflation. That's the genius behind investing in precious metals, particularly gold and silver, and you know I love silver the best. But it's also as a hedge against default in the future. So gold has gone up, what, 300-some percent over the last 10 years.
Yep.
The stock market, as Clyde has referred to before as a moose market, has basically been flat. Where's the place to put your money? Precious metals.
I have to agree 1,000%. You know, we're going to chat about this in the next segment with Rick Ackerman. Rick came out with a prognostication, for lack of better terms, last a week ago Friday. That would have been 8 days ago, where he called me and said, Al, the technical factors are all there. We're going to see a major shift right now in the gold market. Lo and behold, on Monday, the gold market was up significantly, followed by Tuesday, followed by Wednesday, followed by Thursday, etc. So we're going to talk to Rick a little bit about why he thinks gold specifically is a good place to be. And then later on in the show, also David Morgan, who is an absolute genius when it comes to discussing silver with his predictions. He's going to chat a little bit about where he thinks the price of silver is going to go over the next 10 years. So, you know, it isn't all gloom and doom necessarily. I mean, the numbers are, but you know what? Come on. We live in America. Human beings are resilient. We have gone from some very, very bad situations and turned that around to some very, very good situations. And, you know, I have to tell you, I think the same thing is going to happen right now, but I think it's going to be a rough road getting there. Clyde, you got the last word. We got a minute. You agree with me?
I agree with you totally. You know, I believe there's a huge bull market in stuff, not in paper. I will give you a final quote for your show. Robert Reich wrote in his book after being in the Clinton administration that he told Clinton that if we just adjust these numbers a little, it would make the difference between in a close election between winning and losing. And so we adjusted the numbers. I always tell people if you're using government numbers to run your portfolio, you'll either eat cat food when you retire or work till you die.
Isn't that the truth? Again, I want to stress lastly, we get expert opinions on this show from guys like Steve and Clyde. We're not doomsday people. We are people who are simply saying you've got to do something to protect yourself. Big Al's going to be right back.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold for your IRA? That's right. Gold has been available to be placed in IRAs since 1986. Yet still, the financial industry refuses to recognize the value of real hard assets for your retirement. The truth be told, gold and silver has outperformed paper investments like stocks, bonds, and CDs, yet no word about IRAs. Perhaps the financial institutions want to maintain control of your assets by keeping you in paper. If you'd like to take a look at gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low return on your paper investments. Call 800-686-2237. Make sure that you secure your future. Call 800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Lose 1 to 2 pounds a day the healthy way and keep it off with the help of the entire Real HCG diet. With an average weight loss of 1.5 to 2 pounds a day, you can be in that bikini or swimming suit in no time. You've heard of people spending over $700 for this exact same diet at doctor's offices? Now you can start the entire HCG diet for under $100. YourHCG.com is the largest HCG reseller in the entire country, and we want to help you. We have helped thousands of people shed unwanted weight, so call YourHCG.com today. No prescription required. No doctor visit required. No painful injections. With every purchase, we'll provide you with everything you need, including your supply of HCG, unlimited one-on-one phone and email support from one of our amazing health coaches, in addition to a large list of menus, diets, and much more. Visit www.yourhcg.com or call us at 877-748-2709 to order your HCG today. Again, that's 877-748-2709 at yourhcg.com. We love you.
Afraid to answer it? Afraid to answer your door? Did you know that debt settlement, bankruptcy, and attorneys will cost you about 10 times more than you would legally be required to pay creditors? These are not ways to help you get out of debt. They are expensive payment plans. And if you're in debt already, does it make sense to load yourself up with another payment plan? Zero debt in 90 days gets you out of debt in 90 days, guaranteed. And that's the website you need to visit right now. ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Zero debt in 90 days gets you out of debt without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com is the quickest solution to debt relief on the planet. If you have more than $25,000 in credit card debt, student loans, or difficult mortgage situation, we can help, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com.
Rock Creek gently flows through the parkland of Washington, D.C., until it meets the mighty Potomac River in the heart of the federal city.
On the other hand, Rock Creek Free Press is a fiercely independent newspaper that's not afraid to print the truth. We print the stories that others won't touch. The 9/11 cover-up, media propaganda, government corruption, state terrorism, and violations of our constitutional rights. The Creek is a completely reader-supported publication. We accept no corporate advertising, no corporate influence. For a free, no-obligation issue of The Creek, just go to rockcreekfreepress.com. If you want copies for your local 9/11 truth group, send your request to editor@rockcreekfreepress.com. Rock Creek Free Press, not afraid to print the truth.
Call them at 301-452-0090 today.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. I'm chatting right now with one of the most brilliant people who I know in terms of members, for lack of better terms, of the financial community, Peter Grandich. Peter and I are going to chat a little bit today. Actually, I'm not going to chat. Peter's going to talk about what he thinks people need to do during these difficult times. You know, we really need to keep folks apprised of why these are difficult times and why a lot of the news that you're getting in the conventional media is perhaps a little skewed, to say the least. But in spite of all of that, in spite of the fact that times are tough, there are things that people can do to protect themselves and their families. And we're gonna get some advice from Mr. Grandich right now. Pete, what should folks be doing?
Well, the first thing, and it's been something in my counseling and my other business I've been saying for years, and that's to pay down and try to become debt-free. Debt is a, obviously, we've seen what it's done now on a government level, and we also saw what happened when people got overextended in owning things that they really didn't own but borrowed to own it, obviously in real estate and all. So the first goal, even before considering what you're going to invest in and so forth, is to see where and how you can pay down your debt.
Mm-hmm.
Along with that, and this, believe it or not, is the tougher of the two for a lot of people. That is to I don't want to use the word lower, but lessen our living standard, meaning that look at areas where if you don't have something, it's not going to have a major impact on you. And one of the things people are shocked when they do, Alan, almost universally, no matter what their earnings level, no matter where they are in this stage of their life, when they do this, they're shocked to find the results. And what I'm speaking about is for the next 30 days, or wait for a calendar month if you need to do it that way, write down everything you spent. Whether you buy a package of gum, you flip a quarter to somebody, whatever it is, note it. And at the end of the month, people will be amazed to where they're spending money and almost immediately will find ways to avoid that. For instance, a lot of us have gotten to such a habit we don't think about it that we stop and have a latte on the way to work and the way from home. And before we know it, we realize we're spending $300 a month on something that maybe we can just use a regular cup of coffee or even get something that makes it at home for us. So watching expenses and paying down debt is two great ways to start handling ourselves in the tougher times that are here to stay.
You think the tougher times are here to stay, or do you think that do you see a light at the end of the tunnel?
The only light I see at the end of the tunnel is another train coming at us, Al. And the reason I say that is that we made a big bet as a government here in the U.S. We put out all sorts of money to stem what we viewed was entering the abyss. That's what people felt they were 12 to 18 months ago. What we got out of that is maybe they moved us away from the abyss, but the pull that was taking us to the abyss is still there. And the problem lies is that we're now seeing those problems come to the state and city level, and there we don't have the power that the federal government has just to keep creating money. So the difficulties are not going to go away anytime soon. I think they're a generation that we have to face them, and that's why I think we have to take hard issues. But we're only be asking people, Al, to go back to the standards that our parents and grandparents lived in. You know, there was no public storage for our grandparents, but somehow they survived.
And they, you know, and their microwaves and stereo systems, et cetera, also didn't seem to, you know, the lack of those things didn't seem to hurt their health any, for lack of better terms. I think you're right, Pete, though. I think that we're in a tunnel right now, and I think there is a train coming in the other end of that tunnel. I think there's going to be a big crash. But that's not to say really that things are going to be abysmally bad. Let me tell you what I mean by that. You know, when I was in graduate school, Pete, my wife and I were living on $1,000 a month. Kathy was working. I was in grad school. We lived on $1,000 a month. And you know what? The only difference between our lifestyle then and our lifestyle today, the only difference is we had a very modest home, okay? And on Friday nights, we would drink cheap beer instead of expensive wine. Our health was great. Everything else was just perfect. And every time I'm faced with looking at the future and saying, you know, it could get pretty rough out there, I just remember back to, you know, to when I was in school, and I say to myself, for God's sakes, we didn't die. We enjoyed life at the time. It's, you know, it's, yeah, people are going to have to buckle up a little bit. They're going to have to buckle down, I guess I should say, and watch spending and perhaps change some habits. But you know what? That isn't all that bad.
No, it isn't. But the key to remember, and it's been an argument of mine for quite a while, that Wall Street and Madison Avenue has conspired or not knowingly conspired to convince people that more money equals more happiness. They'll try to show that the guy that owns a bus company has to be happier than the guy driving for one of those buses, when in fact, in real life, people find some of the happiest people they know are people that aren't all caught up in the world and chasing the almighty dollar. And that's the change that our culture and America is going to have to make, that we don't have to keep grabbing for the so-called brass ring because somehow it's going to bring in happiness, because our parents and grandparents didn't have any near where the stuff that we have. And every psychiatrist study says we're more messed up now than any other time in our history. So less is going to be more over time for the average American.
You know, Pete, I have to tell you, in my mind, I think what this whole thing boils down to, you know, we're talking here a lot, we're talking about material issues here, and materialism is not necessarily all that important. What's really important is our human values, the values that you have, the values that I have, and I think values need to be refocused a little bit, for lack of better terms. You know, it's driving the big fancy car and living in the big fancy house and being in debt up to your eyeballs, just, it's not a good thing to do.
Well, Al, I'm a recovering materialist. At one time in my life, getting more stuff signified whether or not I was doing well, and I got to the point where all that stuff almost truly suffocated me.
Yeah.
And I think that's the problem in America for a lot. It's going to take time to make that change. It's not easy. Anybody that's gone through any type of addiction knows it's a battle when you've been addicted to something. And we've been addicted to debt. That's what America got used to. We didn't have credit cards when we were kids and all that type of stuff. But we're going to have to get used to it. And it's not something that's going to change in 6 months or maybe even in 6 years. But we have to start somewhere.
You know, we do. And I kind of want to leave this segment with an experience that I had that I'd like people to think about. And that is, you know, Kathy and I recently decided we were done with debt and we were simply going to get rid of it all, with the exception of we have a little mortgage and we kept that because it's deductible, right? But we basically got rid of all of our credit card debt, all the debt that we had, and we have been living strictly using not a credit card, but a debit card. Pete, I have to tell you, talk about a 1,000-pound weight off your shoulders. Talk about significant more happiness. Talk about sleeping better at night. I got to say, my friend, the advice that you're giving our listeners, Al took it a while back, and I have to say, you folks really, really need to take that. Big Al's going to be right back with Roger Wiegand.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
As the economy continues to decline, patriots across the nation are preparing for the worst. The world is changing fast. Are you fully prepared? Or will you be forced to eat government soup? At PatriotFood.com, we offer you 135 pounds of dehydrated food and 6 varieties of canned meat for half price. And at SurvivalistSeeds.com, we now offer 50 non-GMO varieties of vegetables and over 10,000 heirloom seeds. That's twice as many as our competition for the same price. PatriotFood.com and SurvivalistSeeds.com. Food insurance, just in case. Owned by me, Big John Lipscomb, host of Don't Tread on Me radio show.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours, too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved, guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Hi, this is Alex Jones. Did you know that the global elite are now storing non-hybrid seeds in secret storage vaults near the Arctic Circle? Did you know that in a real meltdown, non-hybrid seeds can become more valuable than silver or gold? It's true, seeds have outperformed even gold and silver before in this country, and it's possible that could even happen again. So our friends at Solutions from Science have put together the perfect mix of non-hybrid seeds. They call it a survival seed bank. And it can produce an endless supply of nutrient-dense food for you and your family. And here's the best part. These seeds have not been genetically modified in any way. And you actually get enough seeds to plant a full-acre crisis garden. So visit them today at SurvivalSeedBank.com. That's SurvivalSeedBank.com. Or give them a call at 877-327-0365. That's 877-327-0365. Remember, in a real crisis, non-hybrid seeds are the ultimate barter item. This is Alex Jones for SurvivalSeedBank.com.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. You're listening to the weekend edition of the Corlin Economics Report. You already know that. I'm Al Corlin. You already know that. I'm going to have to quit saying that. I guess I keep reminding myself because I'm getting old and I forget, for lack of better terms. Peter Grandage is a very interesting guy, and I cannot stress enough how important it is not to be in debt. You know, a lot of people felt that debt was the American way up until fairly recently, and then they saw what it did to our federal government. Now they're seeing what it's doing to our state governments. You've got California bankrupt. You've got Arizona on the, you know, on the verge of bankruptcy. We got some real, real problems out there. And, boy, the best thing, one of the best things you folks can do to protect yourselves and your loved ones is get the heck out of debt. Okay. Changing the subject, back as promised with Roger Wiegand. Roger is an economist. He has a newsletter called Trader Tracks. He's a good friend of mine. He's in the studio with me right now, and we're going to get his views as to what is going on. Mr. Wiegand, you're on, sir.
Nice to be with you, Al. I think that what we're going to talk about today, carrying forward the theme that you just mentioned with Peter Grandage about getting out of debt and controlling debt, we can't really control that much what the federal government is going to do. And the states throughout the United States right now understand that they're suffering because in the good times when a lot of tax money was coming in to the state and municipalities, they were spending money like drunken sailors. And now that the income is cut off, they're stuck with the bills and they don't know where to go, what to do. A company called Risk Analytics made a discussion last week about living in an institutional derivative world, saying that what they're doing is extending the debt and pretending that things are going to go on as usual. They simply are not. And I think as individuals and consumers, the thing that we can do is to get out of debt to the extent you can and stop spending money on credit and doing the best that we can do to be good, responsible citizens and take care of our family and friends. Now, one of the interesting things that happened this week in the over-the-counter derivative situation, the dealers were told by some of the states that you better take back your deceptive, unfair, misleading, over-the-counter contracts, or else the public sector client will pursue any and all options. And then they said, remembering that defrauding a state agency is a felony in most jurisdictions. I find that very interesting. So some of these people that have been stuck with this crazy paper and all the risk, they're getting into a position where they're going to push back. Now, okay, we also know what's going on in Greece and some of the other places, but a lot of these things are coming to a head, and like we suspected and we've talked about for many months, maybe even years, we're going to hit the wall here pretty soon, and some things are going to have to get exchanged and turned around and fixed up. A lot of this debt will never be repaid. It's going to have to be written off, and that's going to be both public and private. And when that happens, the standard of living in the United States and other countries where these things have been going on is going to be drastically adjusted.
It's going to be drastically adjusted, Raj. There's no question about that. You know, the question that I would have here, you know, is we try to give opinions on what people should do, and we're really harping on this thing to get out of debt. And I have to tell you, I cannot emphasize enough how important that is to do that. You know, it should be so obvious to people when they look at our federal government. I mean, we will never be out of debt. There is absolutely no way that we could ever be out of debt. At some point, you're going to get the big rationalization, and the federal government is going to say, you know, we're just going to have to, it's all gone, it doesn't exist anymore. You know, that's not unlike Richard Nixon back in 1971 telling the president of France, Charles de Gaulle, that no, you simply can't have any more gold. You know, I mean, people can change their minds, governments can change their mind, and at some day, the debt's going to basically, it is going to come to the point, in my opinion, where people are just, where the government officials are simply going to say, this can never be paid back, we're done, we're starting over. I mean, that's a very radical thing to say, but I think that's the only alternative, Raj.
I would agree with that. And two signals that we see that are very interesting in that regard. The real estate industry, everybody knows, has been in a mess here for 4 to 5 years with a host of problems. And what the government has done lately in that regard is this. They are taking in all the bad paper and they're dumping it into Fannie and Freddie. And the government has been given an open checkbook for 3 years to buy as much of the trashy paper as the banks and the savings and loans can push at them, which means they're going to scoop up all this crummy paper, and then at the end, I think Fannie and Freddie is going to be bankrupted, and that's the way they're going to flush it out.
Well, Fannie and Freddie they've already basically been, you know, they've basically already gone bankrupt. I can't see how anything other than bankruptcy can be an alternative, whether you're talking about the federal government, whether you're talking about the state government of California, whether you're talking about the various other state governments. Roger, I don't see an alternative. Do you?
No, I don't. They're going to have to repudiate the debt. Some of the stuff is going to be paid off on the edges, but I think the majority of it is going to be written off in bankruptcies of various kinds. Now, in the bankruptcy code, somebody wrote up here recently that they do have a section in the code called Chapter 9, and that is directed primarily to a municipality or a city that does have to file bankruptcy. And there was one city in California that's gone through this already, and many more are looking at it and intending to go in that direction. Now, the second point I would make that's going to be quite a system breaker, in my view, is that the banks are in a position now where the FDIC is having to go faster than ever in an effort to try to repair and recover savings for all these failing banks. I saw a report here just this past week indicating that there's been nearly $400 billion of losses from some of the banks, but the person that put this report together is very elaborate. I'll just summarize it. They're saying that what's going to happen here is you could safely assume that a figure closer to $1 trillion is coming for an FDIC bailout. Now, also in that regard,
where is that $1
trillion? $1 trillion.
Where's that going to come from?
It's going to be coming from the manufactured money out of the Fed and the U.S. Treasury. Another thing that really corresponds with this and says this is true, and it is coming quickly. One of my readers is a contractor in Chicago. He's bidding on some plumbing and a sprinkler system in an office building, and the FDIC, on a quick hurry-up, a crash-and-burn mode, they're opening five floors of office space, hiring 200 employees in this Chicago building to install them strictly to deal with the bank problems. So they know it's coming. They know there's more banks that are going to fall apart, and the FDIC has to step in to try to save the system, to try to ensure that the depositors' money is safe. So the signs and signals are there. We've got to pay attention. We've got to do the best that we can do to get our families prepared for tougher times. But like Peter Granich said and like Big Al said, it's not the end of the world. We may change our lifestyle somewhat, but in many respects, some good things could come out of this as well.
It's not the end of the world for sure. I mean, there's no question about that. You know, but values desperately need to change. You know, and that's what we're talking about on this show. There are things out there that you can do just to sit passively to retire to your cave, for lack of better terms, is really, really clearly a mistake, because that way, if you do that, number one, you're not taking care of yourself, and number two, you're certainly not taking care of your family. And number three, you're just not taking care of your fellow man. You know, you have to get off your backsides. You have to realize that we're in a tough situation, and you have to do every single thing that you can to alleviate what is a bad situation. Big Al's going to be right back.
Is it safe to breathe anymore? Crowded public places, global pandemics, and news reports of potential new strains of bacteria and viruses make you wonder, what if there was a germ-killing nasal spray that acted almost like hand sanitizer for your nose? There is. It's called Sinofresh Homeopathic Nasal Spray, and it's a proven germ killer. Sinofresh is a revolutionary doctor-recommended nasal spray that kills a broad spectrum of viruses, bacteria, molds, and fungi on contact in your nose. Sinofresh causes no drug interactions, no loss of smell, no rebound congestion, contains no alcohol, is non-habit forming, and is safe for daily use. Sinofresh must be a part of your family survival plan. Go to GCNlive.com now and click on the Sinofresh banner. The first 1,000 customers to click on the Sinofresh banner and purchase Sinofresh antiseptic nasal spray are instantly registered to win a free 24-bottle case. Go to GCNlive.com and click on Sinofresh. Breathe free. Breathe safe. Use Sinofresh. It works.
Hello, at ofthefield.com, we strive to empower you with wild food preparedness. We get lots of amazing positive feedback, most of which we feature on ofthefield.com. Here's a small sample of all that people like you have to say about the wild food experience.
It's inspiring for many who are affected by the recent downturn of the economy.
I already knew a bit about foraging and edibles, but you take it to a whole new level.
A thousand thanks to you for all that great knowledge. It was empowering.
When I was in the Navy, I went through a couple of quick land survival classes.
Thank you for being an inspiration and for all the work that you do.
I really appreciate the depth and detail of the information.
Thank you so much.
Much love and respect to you from all of us here in the boonies.
Thanks again.
Knowledge is power, and that power brings peace.
Folks, thanks for letting us help you get back to basics. Read all of the testimonials at ofthefield.com. You can order online for you and your loved ones, or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE to share in the secret.
George Washington said, "Government is not reason, it is not eloquence, it is force, like fire. It is a dangerous servant and a fearful master." America's government is no longer the servant of the people and the protector of our liberty, but has become that fearful master. We the people must understand the nature of this government gone awry if we are to be successful in saving our country. America is being deliberately destroyed by a cabal of international gangsters so that she can be forced into subjugation to a one-world government. The God-given, unalienable rights of the Declaration of Independence are in jeopardy. We must not let them be stolen by ambitious and evil men. Utopia Silver Supplements believes it is our God-given right to make our own health care decisions however we deem best. If we can help you with your supplement needs and better health, then help us win this health freedom battle. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's U-T-O-P-I-A silver.com. Or call 888-213-4338. Again, 888-213-4338.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-dry guy, the best you can buy.
You're listening to GCN, the Genesis Communications Radio Network.
Welcome in. You're listening to the weekend edition of Corlin Economics Report. I am Al Corlin. Hope you've enjoyed the first three segments. Going to wrap up this hour with a gentleman from Colorado. His name is Rob McNeely. Rob is running for Congress on the Libertarian ticket. One of our listeners contacted me a few weeks ago and said, you know, this is a very interesting guy. You really, really owe it to your listeners to have him on the show. And you know what? We're going to do more than have him on the show once. We're going to follow his efforts. Rob, thank you for joining me. I appreciate it.
Hey, Al, thank you so much for having me on today.
You listen, you got a bunch of issues. I'm on your website, and there's a bunch of issues here that I want to discuss with you. Can't do it all in this particular show, but, you know, your stance on immigration, national defense, freedom for families, personal defense, bailouts, successful education, small business, et cetera, health care affordability, there's a good one, et cetera, are things that I really want to discuss in the ensuing weeks. But let's start out this week, Rob, and what prompted you to add? Now, you're totally an amateur at this point, politician, and by that I'm not being derogatory. Please understand. You've just never held an office before, but you got up one day, obviously, and you said, you know what, I'm going to try like hell to make a difference. What made you come to that decision?
First and foremost, it's my kids. We just had my fourth, my son was just born on Valentine's Day. And so having four children and looking to the future, I don't see much of a future for me, let alone my children, in the direction that we're going as a country politically and economically. And, I started paying closer attention over the last, say, year and a half, especially when the economy really started going down. I tell people that the economy crashed in the fall of 2007. Everybody says, no, it happened in 08. I'm like, no, it happened in 2007. We just started really seeing the effects in 08 and 09. And the answers are not forthcoming from our leaders on either side of the aisle.
Mm-hmm.
And I started getting involved politically, started networking with politicians, and started meeting a lot of politicians that held high office or are in high office. And the one thing I found, Al, is, no offense, I'm not trying to sound like I'm a Mr. Know-it-all, but a lot of these guys were just not that sharp as people.
Yeah.
I was just underwhelmed with what I would find talking to these people about their understanding of business, their understanding of economics, their understanding of people,
mm-hmm.
just people, how understand how people work. And so that's what got me, I guess fear has motivated me to get involved. Now, I've been on the Board of Adjustments and Appeals for the City of Aurora, Colorado, where I live for 5 years. I'm a volunteer emergency responder out here. I'm the board of a community college out here. I've served on numerous commissions and boards for nonprofits. So I've been very active in my community over the years. This is just the first time I've actually run for office.
What about experience in terms of Washington, D.C.? You mentioned when you and I were talking off the air that you had done some testifying, what have you. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, on the local level here in my municipality, I've been very active with a group called Citizens for Responsible Rural Government, and we've done things like we killed a $125 million tax hike last fall. We're trying to reopen a library here in my city that the city council decided to close, which they didn't want to give up any of their perks or benefits, but they decided to close libraries instead of dealing with the bloated budgets of the benefits and salaries of the employees of the city here in Colorado. But I testify quite frequently at city events, and then recently I just testified at the State Senate Finance Committee because my state, on top of that, just passed passing a whole slew of taxes. In fact, they passed a candy tax, and this is how bad it is. Snickers are considered taxable, but Kit Kats are not, because Kit Kats have wafers, which make them not a candy bar but a cookie. So I testified against those kind of bills. They just created a new internet tax. And so there's a whole bunch of things that they're doing here in both the municipal and the state level in Colorado. And I'm a fighter, and I'm a rabid fiscal conservative. And I believe that the taxpayers are getting raked over the coals. And I, not only at the local level, but the state level, I fight for that. And when I get to Washington, I'm going to fight there, too.
Yeah, I think, well, that's very definitely, a very admirable thing to do. There's no question whatsoever about that. Let's talk a little bit. Let's just take a couple of the issues that are really of interest to me. We've got, I don't know, probably 5 or 6 minutes left here. So talk to me first. Give me your views, if you would, on immigration. Illegal immigration.
Well, as a libertarian, we have a different view than a lot of people, but you can't look at immigration in this country without looking at the entitlement state in this country, because they're inexorably linked to one another. Most people don't have an issue with immigrants as much as they have an issue with immigrants coming to our country and taxing the services that really are designed for Americans and not subsidizing as programs that are supposed to be subsidizing the poor in foreign nations. And I think that's the bigger issue here, is that we need to deal with the entitlement state, the food stamps, the education, and all these services that are provided to illegal immigrants are really the problem. It's not that someone wants to come here and work. It's the fact that they bring their whole family, or they have this chain immigration that makes it almost impossible for the taxpayers and the states to actually take care of all these people. Now, it's not that I'm not sympathetic to people who want to work. But we as a country cannot afford to subsidize the poor of every nation in the world. It was just financially not possible. So I can't talk about immigration without looking at that. I think, from a free market standpoint, as a libertarian, we love the idea of having more people come to our country that want to produce, that want to trade with us, that want to buy and sell from us, because you expand markets. But you can't look at that in a vacuum, and you can't have that when you have the free rider problem in the entitlement state. So the only way you can really deal with this is, you got to look at it two different ways. Which is going to be the easier task, controlling immigration and enforcing the laws that we have on the books, or going through and actually eliminating the entitlement state? The entitlement state really is just nothing more than large corporations getting cheap labor, which are subsidized by the taxpayer. That's what essentially is happening right now. And that needs to end. It's not fair to taxpayers. So given that, I know that it's going to be a lot harder to curtail and deal with the entitlement state, I think we need to control our borders and have a rational immigration policy. I do not believe in amnesty programs. I believe that if people are here, they need to step in line. They need to follow the rules. And you don't reward someone for breaking the law.
You know, I appreciate that. In a nutshell, I feel exactly the same way. One last question, okay? Your wife is a physician, if I'm not mistaken. So you guys have to be having some discussions, I would think, about the proposed, Obamacare. Let's just call it Obamacare, okay? A new way to take care, a new type of medical insurance, for lack of better terms. Give us your thoughts on that. And then I'm going to have you come back in a later show. We're going to talk about that one at length. But give me your thoughts on that just briefly, would you?
Well, yeah, my wife currently isn't practicing. My wife is currently being a stay-at-home mom, and she's a freelance medical journalist. And right now, she's not sure if she ever wants to go back. And that's a bummer, because my wife really loves to help people. My wife is very caring. But we've read H.R. 32, and we've gone through these bills, and it's just going to destroy what's left of our healthcare system. I think ultimately people need to understand that government is not going to bring the price and care and improve the quality of care and medicine. If you look at going back to 1965 with the Medicare Act, you look at 1972 HMO Act, you go all the way back. And if you look at when prices started to rise for the cost of health insurance, it was directly proportionate to the amount of government involvement and regulation into medical care. Like, I'm a big believer in free markets, and the only way we're going to solve the cost and coverage issues with healthcare is to actually move toward a free market pressure and market forces, which we don't have. We're moving the opposite direction. We're moving more toward more government regulation, more government involvement. The great thing I like to look at is plastic surgery and LASIK eye surgery, which don't have insurance reimbursements at all and don't have government involvement in providing those services. And what you're seeing is the prices are coming down and the quality is improving. The technology is advancing. And so I think that could be applied to every aspect of medicine if we would get the government out of it. But since we're going the opposite direction, getting more government in, I think it's only going to get worse. And I don't have a great solution for that other than getting the government out of it.
I would agree 100%. You know, I have been following this medical issue, medical reimbursement issue very closely for actually about a year now. We've had some very, very interesting opinions on our show. Dr. Betsy McCoy, for one, is weighing in on this thing, and I would have to say that she's got some very, very interesting views. Betsy can be a little dramatic at times, but you know what? She's got her ducks in a row in terms of facts, and I have to agree with virtually everything that she says. It's an interesting situation that we're in. You know, everybody labels those of us who are not for Obamacare as being heartless, cruel people. That's not the case at all. It's just a case of being somewhat practical. Rob McNeely, thank you so much. We're going to get you back, buddy.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Hi, Ted Anderson announcing a great way to listen to radio on the telephone. By calling 760-569-7700, you'll be hearing GCNLive.com programs in seconds. Come to GCNLive.com, find your favorite host's dedicated phone number, and hear them 24/7. You heard me right. Every show has a dedicated phone number. Stop by GCNLive.com and bookmark their number today. And again, that's 760-569-7700. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.